Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak on the things that are contained in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, let us hear from you. That comment can be either favorable or not. If you also have been studying maybe a Bible subject, or maybe you have a Bible question that you're considering, and you would like for us to spend time and study it on the program, let us hear from you. You can contact us at the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, much has been said in our times by psychiatrists and family experts about bonding between parents and children. Fathers and mothers are told to hold, to hug, to rock, and to talk with their children, even in the very first hours and days of their lives. And this, it is believed and strongly affirmed, will create healthy family relationships and will build self-esteem in the children. You know, how much of this is measurable by true scientific research, that may be a question, but it surely makes good common sense. Even teaching children the scriptures, as it occurred in the life of Timothy, can and must begin when they are very, very young. And even to the point where they are unable to even speak words or to understand the message that is taught. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, notice what he said about Timothy, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And when we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we find there in verse 5, that when I recall, or when I call to remembrance, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So truly, even the teaching of God's Word is important to try to begin very, very young in the lives of children. But you know, this sense of being loved and respected is important to healthy minds and to the feeling of self-worth. Why would not the handling of children and the words of endearment or the instruction early on, why wouldn't it mold a wholesome attitude in infants and young children toward themselves and toward their parents? And, you know, it's also clear that such relationships must continue throughout childhood and adolescence right on up into adulthood. See, bonding is ongoing when there is togetherness and there's unity. When the family shares in work, in play, in dealing with problems, in Bible study, in prayer, and a host of other things. Surely, this bonding we see must carry from early childhood right on up in through the adult stages of our life. Because you see, spending time together and visiting with one another, these are great times where that we can talk about Dad's day at work, maybe about mom's labors in the home, about the kids' activities at school. It can include talking about maybe a math problem, maybe the telling of a funny joke, talking about a favorite teacher, maybe a political issue, or maybe some sort of outstanding sports feat that occurred. Could be a moral dilemma. It could be talk about an encouraging friend, or maybe talk about what careers that we are expecting and hoping to be a part of our life. But whatever, the important point is that families spend time together and they show an interest in one another and in one another's life. You know, an important opportunity to do this is at the dinner table. I still refer to the evening meal as supper. I know that most everybody, I think, was at the point where somebody might ask the question one day, what's supper? But you know, everybody refers to it as dinner, the evening meal. So an opportunity to do all of this that we're talking about is at the supper, is at the dinner table, when the whole family comes together for that evening meal. But you know, the difficulty is that there is no family meal any longer. The first problem is mom is no longer in the home. She's no longer there to fix the meal. Because with the extra money that she earns outside the home, dad or mom can grab something on the way home from McDonald's or from a pizza or a few tacos and bring them in for supper to take place. A second problem is that kids and mom and dad, they're allowed to take their meals to the living room. And there everybody gathers around the TV and they watch a cartoon or they watch some kind of a sitcom or maybe some program that they have recorded earlier that day that was on at a time when nobody was there to watch it. But the problem is there's no conversation. It's the TV that's the center focal point. There's no conversation except maybe there's an occasional, be quiet, I can't hear. So, and there goes what could have been the most valuable hour of the day. The family meal, if I may say it without being sacrilegious, ought to be the altar around which parents and children assemble each day to display their love, their honor, their interest in one another, and their interest toward one another. It should be a sacred time, a time set apart for commitment, for dedication to the needs, to the interest of each individual family member. You know, someone said a long time ago, the family that eats together stays together. But you know, and in an immeasurable and almost unbreakable bond is cemented when years and years of this practice of eating together are observed. Many, many years ago, Paul Harvey, I'm sure there are those of you in the audience that still remember Paul Harvey. I had a great appreciation for him. But Paul Harvey, many years ago, he reported on the lack of crime in Chinatown. That was an area of Chicago. And before he broadcasted one of his radio programs, he went to Chinatown and he spoke to the officials, the public officials, and other people of importance about the profound respect that children had toward their parents. And here's what Mr. Harvey concluded. He concluded and he reported that one reason for the low crime rate in Chinatown, in that great city that we're hearing so much about today with all of the crime that's going on in the city of Chicago, what he reported was that one reason for that low crime was that children had a wholesome dread of bringing reproach onto families. But why did they esteem their families so highly? Harvey's conclusion was, and he did this after much research and after asking many questions, but his conclusion was that the family meal was sacred to the Chinese. It was sacred. It was a ritual in which every family member must share. I couldn't help in reading about that than to think of the virtuous woman that we read about in Proverbs chapter 31. We're not going to have time to read all of it, but it begins at verse 10 and goes through the end of chapter 31 with verse 31. But I want to point out two verses in that statement concerning virtuous women, because it brought to my mind this worthy woman. In verse 15, it says, "She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household." And let's look at verse 27. "She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." You know, worthy wives, worthy mothers, they take seriously the role of cooking for their husbands and their children. And that what they do, they set a time daily for a family gathering in which members of the household can share their lives. They can blend their hearts, and they can bond their souls in oneness and in love. You know, what wonders this simple ancient practice could work in a nation that is divided and a nation that is seemingly falling apart at the seams, such as our nation appears to be. Think about it, the family meal, and remember it, and restore it in our home. I see that we have a couple of extra minutes before our time is up. Let's go to Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hand, and let her own works praise her in the gates." We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.